10 years doesn't sound like a lot of time, you know, if you're already have reached that, you know, when you were 21 years old, you know, you never thought you'd get to be 21. You know what I mean? I mean, 21, you're never going to get there. But one day when you got to be 20 and you turned around and now then you're 50 or 60 or 70, you know, and you think, wow, where did they go? You know, I mean, I can remember when my dad was 50 and I was 15, my dad was over the hill. I mean, he was old. He was ancient. I didn't realize how young he was when he was 50 until I now got to be 73. You know, so my goodness gracious, life just goes by in a heartbeat. But the Lord told us in the last days, perilous times are coming. He told us a lot of things in the Word. And of course, the last couple of Sundays, we've been talking about some of these things, and we're going to continue to talk about them today, because the Lord, He prepared us and He equipped us and everything else with everything to take care of the last days. But most people don't believe Him. We really don't believe the promises of God. You know, I've had the privilege to step over into this just a little bit. You know, I mean, you know, when I got into the little deal, you know, about casting out demons, you know, I mean, I was raised a Baptist. You know, I didn't know there was demons until God revealed them to me. And I didn't know I had power over them until He revealed it to me. And I didn't know that I had to receive Him as my own personal healer to keep from being sick. But when I learned that, you know, I've gone from well over 30 years now to walking in divine health. I'm telling you, it's fun to live here. It's fun to live here. But there's a cost to living where I live. You know, you can't live there unless, like Dave, since I beat it in his head, you know, some of y'all that have been here a long time, you know Dave's story. But see, when I met Dave 10 years ago, basically, when I met Dave was sick. He had an incurable disease, and he was about 40 years old, about 40 years old. He had an incurable disease, and when I met him, I made a statement that night. I said, you know, I don't care what you have. If you will do what I tell you to do from God's Word, I guarantee God will heal you. Now then, Dave had never heard anything like that in his life. Now, he's a good Christian boy. He goes to church, you know, he reads a little, you know, and everything. But, you know, Dave's first response was, you know, this pastor, he can't guarantee God will do anything. But he said he had an inside place with God that I didn't know existed. And that's where most of us are today. I didn't know that either for half of my life. Half of my life, I did not know this powerful, awesome God that will do all these wonderful things. But when I begin to read the Word, and of course, the reason Dave is beating in your head, read this book, because I told him, son, this is what you need to do, is read this book. You need to study this book for yourself. Well, now then, 8 or 9 or 10 years later, whatever it is, you know, of course, Dave, after he repented of sin, he had no idea that his sin was what, and the curses that he was under was what made him sick. How many of you have ever been in a church somewhere else besides this one? Wait a minute. I'm not through the question yet. And you heard them preach that your sin is what makes you sick, or your sin of your parents is what brings a curse upon you. How many of you heard that outside of this church? We got one woman back here. Got one woman here. Got a few back here. We got a few. But it's not something you hear on a regular basis, is it? Before you two came here, Scott, had you ever heard this? No. You went to church, didn't you? Yeah, if you heard it, it went right through. Well, now that could be true, too, because I remember when I used to go to a Sunday school class, when I was a young man in a Baptist church, we had a really nice man that was my teacher. And I went in with 10, 15, 18 boys, and we'd have a class, and he would teach us 45 minutes, and then we would leave, and we'd walk out, and somebody said, where you been? I said, I've been to Sunday school. Well, what did the guy teach on? Something in the Bible. Yeah, I do remember he had the Bible open. Something in the Bible. Now, where, as a young man, where do you think my mind was, Bill? It certainly wasn't on that book, was it? Not in that book. It was about what I had to do this next week or what I'd done last week or something. But it wasn't concentrating on the Word, was it? No. Now, I know some of y'all have been just as guilty as I have to have done that. You know, because today I try to concentrate on the Word. And when I do, I get people like Dave that has an incurable disease healed. And of course, Dave knows what it takes now to get healed because he's been one of those that was incurable, that had been to the finest doctors and could not get healed. But yet, when he heard what I had to tell him, and it was what God said, God healed him. Now, there's another young lady that we prayed for recently, within the last few years, way after Dave. And her name is Jenna. And when you go out the door, for those of you that don't know, you haven't been here before, or maybe I haven't talked about it since you were been here, but as you go out that doorway right there, there's a set of pictures on the wall right there. There's eight of them, 8x10s. And to the left of them, there's six more 8x10s. Those are the same little girl, except the ones on the right, she's sick. And she was born with a disease that came upon her because of her mother's sin. And she was 8 years old before we finally found the sin. Now, we prayed for her for a year and a half with zero results. But after we found the sin and the mother repented of the sin, we prayed one more prayer. And in 2 weeks, the little girl looks like the little girl on the left. Totally, completely new set of skin. These are some of the miracles that we get to see here at the Living Savior Church. But I believe with all my heart, God is fixing to do something even greater with this obedient church. I think that we're going to start seeing greater miracles and greater healings all the time. Just to give you a little tiny insight, Jeff, one of our men that works with us here, he is a pastor from another church. In fact, the Lord spoke to a prophet down here in a hotel. We were down here a couple of years ago, whatever, and said, Thurman, the Lord just spoke to me and told me he's going to send you an Assembly of God pastor to help you from California. I normally just take all things prophets tell me with a grain of salt and go on. But I knew this guy, and so I said, okay. And he said, by the way, he's going to send enough extra money to pay him a salary. I thought, well, that'll be nice. He'll appreciate that, you know. So, you know, everybody likes to get a little money once in a while. You know, it's hard to work without anything. So it wasn't just a little while until this guy called. And he called me and said, Thurman, I don't know how you're going to take this, but the Lord just spoke to me. I'm an Assembly of God pastor in California. And the Lord told me to come to your ministry, and you were going to train me to do things he wanted me to do for him. I said, come on. I mean, I have people all the time tell me, I want to be a part of your ministry. I'll come down there. You don't even have to pay me. I'll go with you. I'll carry your suitcase. I just want to go with you. And I said, no, thank you. Because if I don't hear from God that God's sending you, I don't want you to help me. You see where I'm coming from? I'm very selective in who I bring into this ministry. God has got to tell me he sent you to take care, to help me here, or you're not going to work here. I am very, very selective. I've learned this lesson the hard way. I've had a few that come here that helped me, that come here to destroy this ministry. I've had a few of those, and so that's why I'm very selective. And so I realize that, just like this young lady told me a while ago, there's a great big target on my back. I know that. Yes, I have been there a long, long time. But I got news for the enemy. I got a great big shield front and back. And so I know my shield of faith, and I know that it's going to protect me. And I know that, you know, that I've had my trials and tests. I guarantee I've had my trials and tests. And I know there'll be other trials and tests because God is training you and me how to become an overcomer on this earth. But anyway, as we are getting people delivered and healed, you know, we are, I will have to say that, I guess that when some of you that have not, if you have not listened to our CD called God's Power, is there anybody in here that has not listened to the CD God's Power? This couple, nobody, y'all hadn't listened to it? Okay, before y'all go home today, all the media you see around here is all free. I don't charge for any of it. we send out about 10,000 of these CDs and DVDs every week somewhere in the world. We give them away at the tune of about 10,000 a week. So we've got about 700 plus teachings here sitting around in these little stacks of CDs and DVDs. As you see, the CDs are all here and the DVDs are all back there on the back. Now, this God's power we only have in CD. When I recorded that, it was at a Bill Gothard conference, and I was to be able to do this. Bill called me, and one of the people in his ministry got healed at my ministry. And he called me and wanted to know how I did it. And I told him I used the Word of God. And he said, what scriptures do you use? So I quoted him a bunch of scriptures. And a few days later, he called back and said, Thurman, I checked you out. And all those scriptures that you gave me, do you know what those scriptures say in the Hebrew or the Greek? And I said, yes, sir. I've already checked them out. They all say the same exact thing they do in the English. He said, you're absolutely right. He said, so how come they work for you? I said, because I believe them in my heart. Now, did the Lord say we had to believe in our heart? What did Dave just get through telling you that worked? I believe them in my heart, and so they work for me. And he said, well, I want you to speak at one of my conferences. I said, okay, but before I do, let me send you a bunch of my teachings to you and your board, because I want them to listen, because I got a feeling that some of them may not be as excited about me speaking at your conference as you are. And so a couple weeks later, he called back and said, Thurman, I'm sorry, but they won't let you speak because you believe sickness and sin are directly related. I said, well, Bill, it's real clear in the Word. With no sin, there's no sickness. Isn't that a wonderful thing? When you get rid of it, see, unbelief is sin. That's one of the biggest killers in the church today because of the promises of God are there. We don't believe Him. And so we go out and believe the devil instead of God. And so we come down sick and afflicted. And so I said, besides that, Bill, he said, I would so love for you to speak at my conference. I said, Bill, I work for Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I said, don't you work for Him? He said, well, Thurman, of course I do. I said, okay, He's mine and your boss. So if we both work for the same boss, and I said, He wants me to speak in your conference, I said, He knows how to make a way. I said, I don't know how He'll do it, but if you don't want me to speak, then this is the last communication you and I'll have. It's over. Well, a few weeks later, he called me and said, Thurman, I've got a young man, Andy, that works for me. And he said he come in a walker today, and the doctors, he's been to the doctors, and the doctor says that he has got to have surgery. He said, there's three things, give him three options, but all three of them lead to surgery. I told Andy, I said, let's call Thurman and see what he says. So they called me, and I said, well, Andy, you got a sin in your life. And Bill's listening on the phone. He said, Thurman, wait a minute. I know you say that, but said this young man is a fine young man, and he really don't have any sin in his life. He's a really good, clean, pure, holy young man. I said, well, I said, the evidence is against him. Y'all know what I mean by that? The evidence is against you. If the Word of God says that sin is directly related to sickness, and if you're walking in obedience to God's Word and doing what He says, and God said in His Word over and over and over, if you obey me, I will take all sickness away from you and you'll have none. I said, so the evidence is against him. I said, he's got a sin somewhere. So he said, well, what do you think it is? I said, well, I don't know. Let me talk to him. So about 45 minutes later, I came to a promise in the Word. I want you to see this promise. And just like Dave said a while ago, I was amazed that Dave was talking about these same things since we were going to talk about these things. That in our heart, we say we believe the promises of God as Christians. Matthew 18:19, I want you to see this. I said, here's this young man come in. He has a walker that he's walking with, and the doctor gave him three options, and they all three lead to surgery. And I said, you're going to go have surgery. I said, first of all, if you as a Christian had to believe the promises of God, you would have taken this promise, Matthew 18:19. Look at this. Jesus is speaking here. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I said, now, Andy, your sin is you don't believe that. He said, Mr. Scrivener, I do believe that. I said, no, you got it in your head, son. You ain't got it in your heart. I said, if that scripture had been in your heart, whenever immediately when the enemy come upon you and you were having trouble walking or you're getting down in your back or whatever it was, you'd have come over and got one of your good, strong brothers and said, you know, Bobby, Jack, whatever, get one of them. Says, come over here. Let's take the promises of God and let's kick this devil out of me and let me get me healed in the name of Jesus. Now, I guess that has limitations in it or something, huh? It says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching a few things that they might ask, maybe it will be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That's the way we read it. But that ain't what it says, is it? I said, he don't believe that. I said, Andy, you don't believe that promise. He said, I do believe it, Mr. Scrivener. I said, no, son, you don't believe that. I said, I don't know how many other promises in God's word you don't believe, but I said, I guarantee you don't believe that one. Because if you did, the minute this came up on you, instead of going to that doctor and letting him check you out, you would have taken the word and you'd have found a strong believer just like you, and the two of you would have got on your knees and said, in the name of Jesus, Lord, it is written in Matthew 18, 19. And so it's done. I'm healed.
Amen.
Is that what that says? But see, we read it just like Dave said. We say we believe these promises. And then a pain comes upon you. And what do? Oh, let me find the doctor. That's why we believe. That's why we don't get anything from God. He's not that kind of God. He's not a wishy-washy God. And people say, but God loves us. Oh, I'll agree with that. He loves every one of us, but let me tell you what, love is not moves his hand to do things for you. It's faith. It's faith that moves his hand. So I told Andy, I said, Andy, son, I want you to read that one more time for me. So he said, again, I say to you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. I said, Andy, I want you to tell God you're sorry you didn't believe that. So he repented. He said, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't believe it. I said, now then, are you and me too? He said, yes, sir. I said, are you and me on this earth? He said, yes, sir. He said, I'm up here in Chicago. I said, well, I'm down here in Dallas or Denton, whatever. I was right over there in my office on the telephone to him. But I'm on this earth. I said, you're on the earth. I said, now then, let's pray the prayer of faith for you. He said, I'm ready. After he repented for his unbelief, I said, Father, on behalf of Matthew 18, 19, you made Andy and I a promise. I said, so Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for giving us power over the enemy. I want to thank you and praise you that the enemy's got to leave and never come back into Andy's body. And I want to thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for sending the Holy Spirit to touch that boy's body. And from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, make him every whit whole in Jesus' name. I said, do you agree with that, son? He said, I do. I said, say, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. He said, Lord, thank you, I'm healed. I said, call me in the morning with your praise report. I got to be up to a Bible study in 45 minutes. I ain't got time to talk no more. I just hung up the phone. The next morning, 7 o'clock, my phone's ringing. Thurman, it's Bill Guthard. I said, well, praise God, sir. I said, what can I do for you this morning? He said, Andy was instantly healed when you prayed for him yesterday afternoon. I said, wow, what? That's what I expected. Isn't that what you expected? He says, no. But he said, it happened. I said, well, it's a good thing Andy believed it. He didn't say we all had to believe it. He just said two of us have to believe it. Is that right? He said, this is the most awesome thing I ever seen. I said, well, praise God. I said, it's just God. That's the way God does business, Bill. So about 2-3 weeks later, he called me back with Robert. He said, Thurman, I got another problem. I said, what's the problem today, Bill? He said, Robert, another fine young man that works for me, he's down in his back, and he's down so bad that he's in a bed he can't even get up and walk. At least Andy could walk with a walker, but said, Robert can't walk at all. I said, well, how's Andy doing? He said, man, he's just going strong. He said, he's not had a pain since you prayed for him. He said, he's healed. I said, okay. So I said, if Robert, they're close. He said, yeah, he's right here in my office, laying on the bed. You know, and I said, well, I said, can you put him on the phone? He said, I put him on speakerphone because I want all of us here in the office to hear what you have to say. I said, well, it's real simple, Bill. I said, he just got a sin in his life. He said, every time somebody's sick, you tell me they got a sin in their life. I said, Bill, that's what the Word says. That's what God said. I said, you know, I think I'm on safe ground if I repeat what God says. Is that true? So I said, you know, it's got to be true. He's got to have a sin in his life because without sin, there is no sickness, according to God's Word. It's all over the place. I said, so put him on the phone. Well, this time I didn't find Robert's sin quite so quick. As I started asking that boy questions, I mean, that young man, I don't know how old Robert was. I've met Andy since then, and I would guess that Andy's 22 to 25, now at least 25, I guess. It'd been maybe 28, I don't know, things. But Robert, I've never met Robert personally since I prayed for him. But I was on the phone with Robert in that office for 2.5 hours trying to find the boy's sin. Now, let me tell you, that boy was a fine young man. This will prove to you that God has no favorites. If I had a young man that was my son that was walking as clean and pure as Robert did, man, I'd give that kid anything he wanted. I mean, he was some kind of a fine young man. Finally, I come down, I said, Robert, have you ever been married? No, sir. No, sir, I have not been married. I said, do you go with the girls? He said, hardly ever. I said, so if you hardly ever go with the girls, I said, I forget now what he was, 25, 26, 28, somewhere along there. I said, let me ask you this question. Have you ever had sex with a woman yet? He said, no, sir. I'm a virgin. I'm clean and pure. I said, okay. That's not very many young men get to your age can say that.
Well, anyway,
I said, you kept yourself clean and pure. He said, yes, sir. I said, you've never had sex? No, no, sir. I'm clean and pure. He said, I'm going to stay that way till I get married. I said, well, that's a great, great, great thing to do, Robert. I said, so I've been on the phone with you for 2.5 hours, and I cannot find a single thing wrong with your life. I said, so let me ask you one more question. I got to find your sin, because until I find your sin and get you to repent, I cannot get you healed. I said, God told us to repent of our sin and he would forgive us our sins. Is that what he said? I said, that's a good part about God. You know, I said, you pray and pray and pray and nothing happens. And then you find out there's a sin there and then you get that sin taken care of. Then you pray one more time and bam, it happens. So I said, okay. I said, one last question. I said, have you ever looked at a girl and even thought about what it would be like to go to bed with her? Yes, sir. He said, I have done that. I said, you know that sin? How many of you all read in the Word where Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust after her, under the new covenant, you are guilty of adultery. Is that what he said? So you think that would be sin then? I said, there's your sin. Robert, there's your sin. I said, now then, I want you to repent and tell God you're sorry that you've looked and lusted. I said, but I will have to say, I'm really, really grateful that there's young men like you still around. Because I said, there's not many today. I said, we hardly have no fathers that are teaching their sons, keep yourself clean and pure till you get married. If they say anything, a boy has a date, they says, be careful, don't get her pregnant. That kind of words, if a man is a Christian, I would like to wring his neck. Anybody will tell their son something like that, he don't have the slightest clue who God really is. And the consequences of not obeying God. And that's why we got so many sick and terrible conditioned people in the earth today. I mean, people don't hear this in church. So I said, Robert, will you repent? He said, yes, sir. I'm so sorry, Lord. I have looked at one or two girls in my life that I did really think about. I'd like to go to bed with them. But he said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I repent, and I will, Lord, if you will help me, I'll never do that again. I will do my best to have look at the ladies in their face only and nowhere else, and to have no kind of impure thoughts about any woman from this day forth. I said, thank you, Lord, for a fine young man like this. I said, Robert, say thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. He said, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. You promised it. I know it's done. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus. I said, Andy's, that Matthew 18:19 sure did work good for Andy's back a couple weeks ago. I said, do you know what that verse said? Oh, he said, yes, sir. Everybody in the office up here, we've read that and studied that verse over and over and over. We all know that verse now. I mean, because what does it say? Again, I say unto you, I guess the guy that's quoting this, he don't count, does he? You all know who's saying this?
Jesus.
Only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods, huh? You think he's big enough to make it come to pass?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's only God after all, you know. He's only God. Yeah, he can do anything. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father, which is in heaven. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, now that Robert has confessed his sin, I thank you for being merciful to him and forgiving him. And then Robert and I are going to agree right now that he is completely, totally healed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet in Jesus' name. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, Robert, call me with your praise report. And I hung up the phone. And you used to keep beating this horse to death. It's done. You act on it in faith. The next morning at 7 o'clock, Bill Gothard, my phone rang. Thurman, I hope you're up. I said, well, I am now. Praise the Lord. I said, what can I do for you, Bill? He said, Thurman, yesterday Robert was instantly, you hung up the phone. He got up and went out. Him and Andy went out and played basketball and took a hike and everything else and said he's totally complete. I said, they played basketball till 3 o'clock this morning. He said, the boy's totally well. And he said, by the way, you didn't know, but my sister, which had had migraine headaches for years that works with us, she's listening on the phone. When she's listening, you talk about all these sins. You hit a couple she had, and she repented. And when you prayed for Robert, she received the prayer for her headaches, and her headache went away. Said, she's healed. He said, you're going to speak at my conference. I said, okay. Like I told you, if our boss, which is the King of the universe, which is Jesus Christ, if he wants me to speak, don't y'all know he knows how to make a way?
Yes, he does.
Because all these people that got healed, guess who healed them?
Jesus.
Oh, sure wasn't Thurman Scrivener, was it?
No,
it was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the King. And so I did get to speak at a conference down at Big Sandy a few months later. And, of course, Bill put my picture on there with all them other guys, you know. Some of them are PhDs and everything else. But I was the very first speaker at Big Sandy on Thursday morning. I spoke an hour and a half. And we made the CD called God's Power. I went, as soon as the teaching was over, I went and got a copy of God's Power. The greatest number of those that I've ever had requested. Now, we've given away tens of thousands of that CD. I don't have any idea how many we've made. But I had one pastor call me one day and said, somebody give me a copy of this CD, God's Power. He said, I've got to have a copy for everybody in my church and everybody in the area. We're going to put one on every door in Plano. I said, so how many do you need? He said, I want 5,000 of them. He said, how much is it going to cost? I said, nothing. He said, but Thurman, 5,000. I said, if you're going to put them on the door, I'll furnish the CDs. So I made and printed 5,000 CDs, and then I carried them over there in Plano to his church and gave them to that pastor. He was so impressed with what we said. But all the stories I told on that CD is true. And, of course, Rosemary, she can say amen because she's been here for several years. And she's seen God do all these things herself.
Yep.
You know, so she knows, and Sharon's back there. In fact, you know, I mean, I love to tell these stories once more, just testimonies. In fact, you saw Rosemary over. She works with us. She's seen our awesome things since she's been working for us. But Rosemary wasn't sick when she came here, I don't guess. Were you? No, you were okay. But now, Sharon, see the girl back there in the pink right behind her? Hold your hand up, Sharon, so everybody see who you are. That lovely lady right there, when she come to me, she couldn't drive a car. She went to a big church over in Dallas. She could not drive a car. And she came up and she come to a healing school. Somebody brought her to a healing school. Now, she had never heard of a healing school, but we have a healing school the second Saturday of every month. And next Saturday is the healing school. We have a healing school the second Saturday of every month from 1 to 5. We teach people from God's Word what makes you sick and how to get healed. And, of course, Sharon came to one of those several years ago. And when she came up for prayer, she said, I've never heard this kind of teaching in my life. But she said, I want you to know I've been prayed for at least 100 times with no results. Well, how many people do you know that's done that? Sure, lots. I said, well, Sharon, if you didn't get anything from God, you didn't do it His way. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, first of all, Sharon, your problem, because now Sharon didn't have very many things wrong with her, brain tumors, you know, back problems, allergies, asthmas, you know, hip goes out, a arm goes out, a shoulder goes out. You know, she was just a mess. Would you could say that's pretty well what you were, Sharon? A basket case, that's what I used to call you, right? And I told her when she came to me, she said, I want you to know, Pastor, I've been prayed for at least 100 times with no results. How many people do you know has been prayed for 100 times with no results? I said, well, Sharon, first of all, the very first thing you're missing is, have you ever repented of the sin that you committed? I asked her first, how long have you had all these sins? She told me how many years ago this started. I said, let's go all the way back to when it started. And let me ask you, can you think of a sin you might have committed? Oh, she thought of a few. How many of y'all, if you were to go back and think, have you ever committed a sin? Yeah, boy, well, most of us have committed a lot of them. Well, have you repented of them? She said, well, I guess not. I said, well, I want you to repent of every sin. So she repented of every sin. Asked the Lord to forgive her. Now, will God forgive you when you repent?
Absolutely.
Isn't that a wonderful God? I mean, boy, if we didn't have a God to forgive us when we repented, I'd change jobs, let me tell you. I couldn't do this because I couldn't get nobody healed if He didn't forgive us, including me. So I said, now then, Sharon, I said, God says in His Word, we need to find a promise. I said, He watches over His Word to perform His Word. So I want to know what scripture you use to base your faith on. See, what was this that I used with Andy and Robert? Is that a scripture? Did I use that to base my faith on? And did it work?
Yes.
It'll work for you too when you got it in your heart. Now, if it's just in your head, it won't work for you. But if it's in your heart, it will work for you. I said, what scripture did you use, Sharon, to base your faith on with those 100 people that prayed for you? She said, well, we never used a scripture. And I said, you see what you got? Nothing. See, who's running the show?
God is,
right? It ain't you and me, right, brother? It's God. Is He in control? Let me tell you, He's in control. I don't care what anybody says, the King is in control. And so she never used a verse. So I said, well, let's find one of these wonderful promises. The Bible's full of them. So I said, let's find one of these wonderful verses. We might have used that one on you, Sharon. I don't even remember now. Been so long ago. So we took one. After she repented, that's the first step. You got to repent. And you got to be serious about that. You know, you can't just come to God and say, well, God, you know, yeah, I'm okay. I'm sure you didn't know what all I was doing back in those days anyway, so I don't want you to know now, so I ain't going to tell you. So let me tell you, He knows everything you ever done. You know that? He never forgets it. So she repented of her sins. Then we took a scripture. I said, now then, there's only one thing left, Sharon. I said, nobody has ever prayed for you in faith. I'm going to show you what God says He will do for you when you don't pray in faith. James 1, 6, and 7. I want you to see this. This is where I learned this principle. Look at this. I learned everything I learned from God's Word. In James chapter 1, 6, and 7, but let him ask in. How much wavering? I mean, now wait a minute. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So how much wavering can I do, Lou? Oh, I mean, now God would never do me like that, would He? He does everybody like that, doesn't He? Yeah, I mean, He's no respecter of persons. I'll say that He doesn't do something for one person one way and another one another, does He? He treats every one of us according to His Word. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man or woman think that he or she shall receive anything from the Lord. Like Dave was talking about a while ago, you got great faith up here. As soon as something happens to you, you pray a quick prayer and then say, let's go to the doctor. Is that what we do? That sure is what we do. And we have so many people that die because they don't believe God. I'm going to tell you, people will get on my case. Now, Thurman, you can't tell people they can't go to a doctor. That's right. And I will not never tell you you can't go to a doctor. No way. I'm just going to tell you that if you really want to get healed and you really want to get it as quick as possible, you make sure every sin is taken care of, and then you stand on the promises of God, making sure you continue to walk holy in His presence. And if you will, now then Dave, of course, another reason Dave is so strong in faith, when we prayed for Dave, we started praying for him, and he stopped taking all kinds of supplements and everything he was taking, and Dave started getting worse. And worse. If you haven't seen the DVD, if you're new here and you haven't, not only do you need to get a copy of God's Power to listen to God's Power on CD, but back there on DVD, get a copy of Sickness is Satanic Oppression. Sickness is Satanic Oppression. The first hour of that DVD is all about Dave with him and pictures of his sickness. Now, I remember one Sunday, a year into this. Now see, this is where we lose it. Everybody wants it right now. Well, that's okay, right? Don't we all want that? Of course. We're all, you know, microwave technology today especially. We want to be prayed for and we want it done right now. And when God does that, and He does that for us quite often here at this ministry, and I'm so grateful for all those healings that He does. But with Dave, we prayed for him, and Dave started repenting of sin. See, Dave didn't have any idea how many things that he had that was sin. He didn't understand what sin was, but he does now because he spends time with God in the Word every day, and he's learned what sin is. In fact, I don't know, I guess it was a year when Dave walked up to me, and he walked up like a zombie, like this, and he had nearly no clothes on, a little light shirt, little short pair of breeches. And I think he was barefooted. He might have had flip-flops on, but I think he was barefooted. And his feet and legs looked like Job's. I mean, the sores. He was awful. I can't tell you what he looked like until you get a copy of the DVD and listen to it. And when he walked up to me like that, like a zombie, I said, Dave, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Pastor, it doesn't appear to be working. I said, Dave, repent. God's word never fails. The only thing that makes His word fail is you. I said, now you need to get on your face before Him. You need to find out what sin you still got in your life. You need to start breaking those curses, and you need to start standing on the promises of God. Dave told me several times since then, he said, Pastor, if you had went to seminary, you would never have passed your personal pastor care class. Yeah, he said, you know, they don't teach you to do it like you do it. I said, praise God, I'm glad I didn't go to seminary. I do it Jesus' way. And so I told him, I said, you know, just all you got to do is repent and start claiming the promises of God. So Dave started repenting. And he said, well, I can't think of anything that I'm doing wrong. At that time, Dave was still working for Nortel. I said, Dave, let me ask you a question. You're a computer science engineer. I said, do you guys bid your contracts? Oh, yeah. I said, when y'all win a contract over another group, do y'all gloat over it? Well, he said, of course, we have a party. I said, Dave, do you know that's sin? What? I said, God said in His word, anybody gloats over another person's misfortune, you will not go unpunished. How many people don't know that? Huh? Almost nobody knows that, Lou. I mean, we think it's a big deal. Somebody, especially if somebody we don't like, if something bad happened to them, we think, well, they got what they deserved. Yeah. See, but if God's word says that anytime you gloat over another person's misfortune, you will not go unpunished yourself. You know, our problem is a lack of knowledge of the word. Y'all agree with me? That's what's wrong with us. We don't know what God says. If you want to find out what pleases God, then I suggest you read His Word. That's the only way I've ever been able to figure out what moves the hand of God and to get Him to do signs and miracles and wonders for me is to tell people what He said and then do what He said. In fact, I will tell you that, of course, this problem with sex out of wedlock, which is running rampant in the church today, I'll give you two examples of what happened this last year right where I'm standing right here. We had a mother with a little daughter and a 13-year-old son. They come to a healing school from Lubbock. And after the healing school was over, I invited people up for prayer. They were the first ones. They were in that aisle right there. They've come running out right here. And she says, I said, what can I pray for you for? And she said, my son, our son, my husband and I, he's 13, and the retinas have never developed in the back of his eye. And so doctors say his eyes can't be fixed. He can see, but he can't focus on nothing. I said, let me ask you one simple question. Did you and your husband have sex before you got married? She said, yes, we did. But we didn't know it was sin, and we did not know. So we really knew it was wrong, but we certainly didn't know it had a consequence. I said, well, that's it. I said, have you and your husband both repented of that? And she said, we have. We've heard, been listening to your teaching for about 6 months, and we heard you talk about that on one of them. So we repented before God and told Him how sorry we was that we had sex before we got married. I said, do you believe He forgive you? She said, He promised to in His word. I said, and He will. Isn't He an awesome God? Praise God for an awesome God. I said, okay, son, you're in good shape now. Your mom and dad's repented of that sin. I said, so now then, there is a curse that you've been under, and now Jesus has redeemed you from that curse. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, it is written in Galatians 3:13-14, you've redeemed this young man from the curse of the law. He is no longer under the curse. Since mom and dad repented of sin, now you've given me power and authority over the devils. I said, you demons of hell that are in this little boy's eyes, that are messing up his eyes, I command you to leave him and never enter him again in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, thank you for giving me power over the evil spirits. I said, now, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit into the little boy's eyes and restore his eyes and make them perfect in Jesus' name. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. I said, son, you believe that? He said, yes, sir. I said, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. He said, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. And he went, bah, he done this. He's looking straight ahead right here. And he said, Mom. I said, son, what's wrong? He said, Mom, those words up there on the board, they just come into perfect focus. He said, I can see perfect. So he started crying. His mama started crying. I told Cheryl, I said, this is a good time for me and you to cry. Let's just cry with him. I love seeing Jesus do things like that, don't you? I just love seeing the King show up. Well, 2 months later, there was another couple right here, and they had a 13-year-old son. And I said, what's wrong with you after a healing school? I said, what's wrong? She said, well, he has 4 or 5 issues, but the major one we're concerned with was he's colorblind. He can only see black and white. That's all. I said, okay. I said, did you two have sex before you got married? She said, he's not our natural born child. But no, we didn't have sex before we got married. We were virgins when we got married. I said, well, good. Praise God. I said, so tell me about the boy. Where's his mother and dad? I said, well, there was a wild, stupid young girl and a young boy. And they run off and they're having sex, drinking, doing drugs and everything else. And he's the child, their child. And so it said he was taken away from them and by CPS and we took him in as a foster child and said, after we kept him a year or so, we just fell in love with a little guy. And so we just adopted him. He's now our child. I said, son, you are in luck. He said, what do you mean? I said, as long as you're attached to that mother and dad that was so wicked, it keeps you under a curse. I can't do nothing for you. But I said, you're in luck because this man and woman is now your legal adoptive parents. So they have more power over you than your real parents do. I said, and they're walking clean and pure and holy before the king. I said, so you're in luck. I said, now then, you're redeemed from the curse. I claimed that Galatians 3:13-14 for him. I commanded those spirits to leave him and to never come back. Just exactly like Jesus did. When Jesus, I learned this lesson the hard way. You command a spirit to leave somebody and you don't say, and never enter him again. That spirit, when he gets a chance, he's going to come back. And sometimes they get back in pretty quick because it don't take people long to sin. So anyway, I commanded the spirits to leave and never come back. I said, now, Father, I ask you to restore his little eyes and make them perfect. First, I commanded the spirits in there to leave and never come back. And then I asked the Lord to send the Holy Spirit to restore his eyes and make them perfect. And then I said, thank you, Lord, for doing it. Because did the Lord tell us to do everything with thanksgiving? Yes, that's exactly what he said. Don't ever forget to thank him. Because if you learn his principles and how he wants it done from his word, all of the principles you need to use, your principles don't work. But his does. And so after I did that, I said, now, son, do you believe you're healed? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, then say, thank you, Jesus, for my perfect eyes. He said, thank you, Jesus, for my perfect eyes. And then he just done a deal like this. And he's looking around the room like this. And I'm looking at him. I said, son, what's going on? He says, God is awesome. I said, yes, son, I know he's awesome. But I said, what's... He said, God is so cool. I said, yes, God, I know he's awesome. I know he's cool. But I said, what did he do for you? He said, Pastor Scrivener, I can see colors everywhere. He was instantly healed. Let me ask you a question. Who all that's in this room today was here that day when that little boy got healed? Wow, several of you. Okay. Is that awesome? Is it awesome to see our Lord show up like that, Joseph? Amen. It's awesome. I love being where Jesus is. Don't you? In fact, 2 months later, after that, we got a beautiful letter from the mother. And she said, what a privilege it was to be there and to see our Lord instantly heal our son's eyes. And then she said, the last 2 months, what a privilege it's been to teach our son the colors. Because, see, he never saw colors. He's looking at these things, but he don't know. Is God pretty cool?
Yes,
he is. I love him, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you something right now that I'm going to go to 1 John 5:18. I want you to see one of my favorite scriptures. When I was taught as a Baptist, and I was a Baptist for 65 years until I finally quit 8 years ago and just became non-denominational. But look, I was taught in the Baptist church that I'm just an unworthy sinner saved by grace and it's impossible for me to go through the day without sin. That's what I was taught in church. You can't go through the day without sin. You ever heard that, sir? Let me tell you what, don't ever listen to that. That's a lie. That does not line up with the Word of God. You know that? It does not line up. People will tell you, you can't go through the day without sinning. Let me tell you, that's not true. If I cannot go through the day without sinning, then why did God tell me in His Word so many places to sin not after I get saved? Is that right, Lou? I mean, if God says don't sin, what do you think He meant? Exactly what He said. Don't sin. So look what happens. Here's one in 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, when I first read that the first time, I thought, okay, God, I've been raised up in a Baptist church all my life. I've heard this. I cannot go through the day without sinning. Just repent every night. I can't do it. So, Lord, if I can't do it, then that must mean, according to that scripture, I don't even know you. You know, I mean, I'm like Dave said, I know him in my head. But obviously, I don't know him in my heart. Because if I know him in my heart, what does that scripture say? We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Can that be any clearer? If I'm born of God, how much sin is supposed to be in my life, young lady? According to that scripture, zero, right? I'm supposed to walk pure and holy and clean before the Lord, right? Rosemary, you agree with that?
I'm in agreement.
You're in agreement. So we've got two girls back here in agreement. Praise God. But it's easy to agree when we see it right on the board, isn't it, Rosemary? It's not difficult to believe this. I've done some research on this, and I think, you know, if that's true, if that really is true to the letter, just like it's written, then I know since I've got saved, I know I have missed the mark several times. Y'all know that? Some of y'all have too, right? Or am I the only one that's ever sinned? Betty, am I the only one that's ever sinned? Oh, you think you might have sinned once or twice in there too, huh? Okay, so Bill, she's pretty good though, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Every once in a while though. Oh, goodness gracious. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. When I really got the revelation on what he's really saying there from the translation, different translations that I read, this is what it says. We know that whosoever is born of God does not practice sin. That made it a little easier for me to swallow. That means I can get upset. I can, if I do and I lose it and get upset, I can repent and get back in grace with him, right? But that means I ain't going to go out and practice getting, you know, upset with somebody every day. That's not what he meant either, was it?
No, not at all.
No, he plans for me to walk holy before him. We know that whosoever is born of God does not practice sinning. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself. What does it mean to keep yourself? Pure. That's exactly right. Keep yourself clean and pure from all sin. From all sin. God came to Abraham and he said, Lord, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to check it out. He said, the sin has reached all the way to heaven. He said, the sin is wicked over there. And if it's like I think, he said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham, being the man he was, he said, God, would you destroy the just with the wicked? He said, what if I find 50 righteous people in the couple, 200,000 or 300,000 people, whatever there is over there? What if I can find 50 righteous people over there? He said, if you can find 50 righteous people, I'll spare the whole bunch for the sake of the 50. Does that sound like a righteous and awesome God? I'm telling you. Then Abraham got to think, but he said, but Lord, maybe I can't find 50. Maybe what if I can only find 45? He said, well, for the sake of the 45, then I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he finally keeps on, he said, Lord, listen, but one last time. Now, I mean, he did over and over and over and over. Finally said, Lord, what if I can only find 10? What did the king say? If you can find 10 righteous, I will not destroy the city for the sake of the 10. But how many did he find? 4. And what did he tell them? You must get out. You must leave Lot and his wife and his 2 daughters. You must leave because I can do nothing as long as you're here. 4 righteous people. He couldn't destroy it. I got something to say about that. Some of y'all know Jack Butler. Some of you don't. But Jack's a construction man. And he owns his own company. And he goes to church here when he's here. He got part of the deal to clean up Joplin, Missouri. Jack said in the area that the tornado destroyed, there was 35 churches completely destroyed. 35. Now what does that say? What does that say about those churches? There's something. They're not pure. I mean, you know, you hesitate to make those kind of statements until Jack goes up there and then he comes back in this church and stands here and tells us a testimony here a while back. He said, when I got to Joplin, I was given a shopping center to clean up. And he said, the shopping center was totally destroyed except for one building on the end. One building on the end did not have a broken glass. It had never lost electricity. It had never been shut down. It never lost a day of business. But yet the center supporting wall in that business was attached to another business, and that business was destroyed completely to the wall. He said that wall was left standing intact, and on this side of the wall, forward to the full length of the shopping center, was one thing left standing, But where that wall was to the end of the shopping center, which contained one business, it was not damaged, not even a broken glass, still had water and electricity running. Now then, somebody said, what a freak thing. Oh, you'd think that until you find out who owned that building. You have any idea who owned that building? Hobby Lobby owned that building. That man is one of the greatest men of God that I have ever seen. He spends his money for the kingdom of God. He is a pretty clean, pure, holy man. Now, isn't that amazing? I happened to have spoken at a place one time that Hobby Lobby, they wanted, what was it, $23 million for this place, and they couldn't sell it. And it had 25 homes, and had an airport, and had all kinds of buildings, but they couldn't sell it. It belonged to a church organization that had a cultic leader, and it went under, and so they tried to sell this thing, and nobody could buy it, and they offered it, finally come down to $9 million. No, I take it back, $15 million. They come down to $15 million, and still nobody wanted it. So finally, this man that I know personally, he wanted to buy this place, but when he found out that they had to have at least $9 million, they finally come down and said, okay, we will take $9 million for it. That's the lowest we're going to go. He had $1 million. So he prayed and prayed and prayed, Lord, you got to help me. This is exactly what we need. This $23 million piece of property, they're going to let me have for $9 million. Lord, I want this piece of property. And so he stood in faith, and Mr. Hobby Lobby heard about it, and he stepped in and said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will give you the $9 million to buy this piece of property. And so he said, I will have the check there by 4 o'clock Friday afternoon for $9 million to pay for it. A couple of days later, some big wheel from Dallas here called those people, said, I understand you got a piece of land down there you're trying to sell for $15 million. They said, well, yeah, that's what we were asking for, but we just sold it to a church for $9 million. He said, so it's gone. He said, well, it's gone if they come through with the money by Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And he said, and if they don't come through with it, then I will give $15 million for it. Well, my friend happens to be down there the day waiting for the check to come in. It's 15 minutes to 4 and the check has not come in yet. And the other guy standing there ready to write a check for $15 million. He said, if there was ever a time we hit our knees and started praying, God, we need that check. He said, 5 minutes to 4, the truck pulls in, walks in, and hands them the check for $9 million. He said, we get the piece of property. He said, I had $1 million in the bank. Mr. Hobby Lobby told me, said, you go ahead and renovate all the property and spend your $1 million fixing it up, put it like you want it, and then at the end of the year, I'll do something good for you. So he said, we spent the $1 million, and we fixed it up that 1 year and made it exactly what we wanted, and said, then at the end of the year, Mr. Hobby Lobby came in. That's not his real name. Yeah, Mr. Green is his real name. But anyway, I just call him Mr. Hobby Lobby because that's his stores are all called Hobby Lobby. Whenever they got that done and everything, he said that at the end of the year, Mr. Hobby Lobby came to me and said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Give me $1 and I'm going to sign it over to you. So they give him $1 and he signed that property over to them. And you want to know why Mr. Hobby Lobby's building? He does this to Christian ministries all over the United States of America, maybe even to other places in the world. I don't know how many millions of dollars that Mr. Green gives to the church, but he gives a lot. He's really a great man of God. I'm telling you what, if the churches don't get back online with God and start doing what he says and start teaching what he says, because I'm going to tell you, that's why that as long as I was in a Baptist church, I hardly ever saw a miracle. In fact, I remember being in the Baptist church one day whenever I walked in one evening on evening service, and when I did, there's one of the ladies grabbed me as I walked down out and says, Thurman, what are you doing out here? I said, well, ma'am, I'm just coming to church. Where am I supposed to be? She said, my husband was sick, and he came in and he asked the pastor and an associate pastor and two or three of the deacons to go to the office and pray for him, and said, if there's anybody in this church I want in that room when he's prayed for, it's you. I want you in there. I said, well, okay, where are they at? She's in the pastor's office. I get to the pastor's office, open the door, walk in, and they're all fixing to anoint him with oil and pray for him. I said, guys, I have one question to ask y'all before we pray. I know we're Baptists, but let me read this scripture, James 5, 14, 15, and 16. I want you to see this. This is what they were going to use. Now, I want you to see this awesome promise that's based on sense, knowledge, faith. It's not even based on real faith. It's sense knowledge. We've got to be able to see or feel something. Look, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of unbelief might save the sick. Uh-oh. The prayer of what?
Faith.
I mean, I'm getting this idea that God's a faith God, huh? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. What kind of a better promise could you have than that? I asked a question. I said, is that the one y'all are going to use? They said, that's the one. I said, then let me ask you one more question before you pray. When you pray, is the man going to be healed? And they said, well, Thurman, if it's God's will, he'll be healed. I said, forget it. He is not going to be healed. Is that a prayer of faith? If you pray and say, well, if it's God's will, and that's where we are. The church does not know this awesome God that demands that when we pray for him, pray for anybody, we pray in faith, believing. If you want to be healed, that's the way you got to get it from God. That's the only way he's going to do it for you. And people pray all the time, and nothing happens. And the first thing nobody ever tells them, you have got to get rid of sin. And people say, but you know, I mean, I've been such a terrible sinner. I mean, I've done all this. You know, I had three abortions, you know. I mean, I've been, you know, man, I mean, you just name it, you know. I mean, I've been a drunk or a drug addict and everything. I mean, I've done this all my life. I've stole. I've done everything. I said, all you got to do is repent. Tell God you're sorry. I mean, will he clean you up? Can you be too foul for God? No. Are we glad of that? If you're the most foul, wicked person there is, all you got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry I done that. Forgive me. And it's done. Cheryl, her favorite verse is Psalm 107, verse 103:12. And you know what that says? He puts my sin as far as the east is from the west. Never to remember it again. Because see, she just like me. She knows she's missed a mark a few times in her life. She knows she's committed sin. But who in this room hasn't committed sin? There ain't not one of us. Not one of us. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when you repent of that sin, what does God do? He forgives you. He cleans you up. Yeah, in fact, when God brought her to me, when God spoke to her and told her she was going to be my wife, he spoke to me the next morning and told me Cheryl was going to be my wife. And so whenever I asked a woman to marry me that I'd never held her hand, she accepted. She said yes. And then, you know, as we're in the church, she would say to me one day, I say, you know, something about something. And she said, you know, I cannot believe that I'm the, what did you say? How did you say it? I'm the worst sinner in the church or something like that. I'm the biggest, yeah. I'm the biggest sinner in the church. And I finally one day I just got upset with her and I told her, I almost just reached over, grabbed her and shook her. And I said, I don't never want to hear you say that again, woman. She said, what do you mean? I said, you're not any bigger sinner than any of the rest of us in this church. I said, you have repented of all your sins. And as far as I'm concerned, when you repented of every sin, you're standing beside me in a pure white gown without a spot on it. And I said, I'm standing beside you in a pure white suit. And I'm as pure and clean as anybody you ever seen. And you're right beside me. So I said, if you're not believing the promises of God, when you tell him, I'm still the biggest sinner in the church, I said, what you're doing is reaching up and slapping Jesus in the face and saying, your blood's not good enough for me. I said, I don't think that makes the king happy. If you had died on the cross for somebody and you was able to be resurrected from the dead and they come and said, what you did for me wasn't good enough, Would it make you feel bad? It would, wouldn't it? Sure. Would me too. I thought, I died for you. I rose again. I went to hell for you. I rose again on the third day and told you, now I've made peace with you. All you got to do is accept me as your Lord and Savior, and I'll forgive everything you've ever done and make you as white and clean as snow. See, we don't believe that. The average person, they don't believe that because they think, well, I have sinned, and so I'm sure that God would never heal me. You have no idea how many people that have had such great problems getting them healed because they won't believe it's them. It's for them. He did it for me. If God did it for you, He did it for me. Is that right? Young lady, I don't even know you really till today. But when you get your sins confessed, are you clean and pure before the King? How about you, brother? You believe that, don't you? If you don't, He ain't never going to do nothing for you. Because He will not look upon sin. You know, so when you come to Him for whatever you need, you got to make sure you come to Him clean and pure with every sin repented, every sin. And then you got to come to Him in faith. When you do, just like that little girl out there on the wall, Jenna, who would have ever dreamed? I mean, I told that mother and dad when I prayed for that little girl, I said, when they first called me, they wanted me to pray for her, told me she had eczema. I said, we got a sin issue we got to deal with. I said, was she born like that? They said, yes. I said, okay, do y'all have other children? Yes. I said, you're married, aren't you? Yes. I said, did y'all have sex before you got married? No. I said, okay, good. I said, all your children well till this one. She said, this is the last one, and this is the only one that's sick. I said, okay, that's going to narrow it down. I said, there's something either you or your husband did just before this child was born, or at least between the last one that was born and this one, that God didn't like, and so He struck you, your child, with a curse. Deuteronomy 28:27 is where you're going to find that curse, and we're going to look at it right quick. We're nearly through, but you got to tie this all together right here. Look at this, Deuteronomy 28:27. The Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt, and with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof you cannot be healed. Now this is a curse, and who's it come from?
Lord.
From the Lord. It says the Lord will do this. The Lord will do this to you. And why does He do this to you? Because of sin. So I said, we got to find out what the sin is. Well, it took us a year and a half to find the sin. Every time I'd pray for this little girl, she'd get worse. And so every time I just say, you know, God's promises are always yes and amen. So I said, we haven't found the sin. When we find the sin, I said, then we can get it taken care of. Then we can pray, and then I guarantee God will heal this little girl. Took a year and a half. When the mother finally found the sin, she woke up one morning, and here's what she heard. Ladies, y'all need to really listen. Lying and deception. When she called me and said, Thurman, the Lord spoke to me this morning. And when I got up, and when Richard and I had been praying and asking God what we'd done that He didn't like, and He told us lying and deception, I said, Sally, do you know what that means? She said, yes, I know exactly what it means. She said, when I was 39 years old, my husband was 43. I wanted another baby before I got too old to have children. So I went to my husband and told him, honey, let's have one more baby. He said, absolutely not. He said, I am 43 years old, and I do not want a teenager in high school when I'm in my 60s. That makes sense to a man. It may not to a woman, but it does to a man. She said, okay, I will do everything I can to keep from getting pregnant. But she said, I lied. I did everything I could to get pregnant. And then when I got pregnant, I said, honey, it must be God's will, after all, for us to have another baby. I was doing everything I could to keep from getting pregnant, and I'm pregnant. So it must be God's will for us to have another baby. And I'm going to tell you, God wasn't happy with none of that. So He struck that daughter with that curse. And when she told me that, I said, that's it. I said, have you repented to your husband? She said, I have. I said, did he forgive you? She said, yes, he did. I said, did you ask God to forgive you? She said, I did. I said, well, we know He forgive you because He promised it in His word. I said, now then I can pray for your baby's healing. And she said, Pastor, I don't want you to pray for her healing. I said, what? She said, no, now that I found out it's my sin that brought this sickness upon my daughter, I do not want her to be scarred. You have taught us in the Word, like John 14, 13 and 14. Look at this promise. This is what we use. John 14, 13 and 14. Look at this. Look at this awesome. This is one of these awesome keys that you need to know. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. What kind of a promise is that?
Awesome.
Is that awesome? And that comes from our God, and that's to all of His obedient children. Not His disobedient children. His obedient children. Those that are walking in integrity with God. And so I said, okay, what do you want? And she said, I want you to ask the Lord to give my baby a brand new coat of skin with no scars. I said, I know the one that can do that. His name's Jesus. So I prayed the prayer of faith and asked the Lord to give little Jenna Singh a brand new coat of skin with no scars. And as you go out that door, look at the six pictures just to the left of the opening. You'll see six beautiful pictures of a little girl that ain't got a scar or mark on her body. Is He an awesome God? He's an awesome God. Now, had we prayed for her before? Oh, we prayed for her for a year and a half. Everybody in this ministry center prayed for her. Nothing happened until we found the sin. We found the sin and took care of it. Then we prayed one simple little thing. And it's amazing how He heard it. He said, when you got sin in your life, I won't listen. I won't hear your prayers. My ears are stopped up to your prayers. I don't hear a thing you're saying. So He said, get rid of your sin and come to me in purity. Then I will answer your prayer. I mean, I just read all these things and found them in God's Word. And I thought, wow, if He said it, it must be true. I said, I don't even have to read between the lines, do I? But let me tell you, folks, I think if there was ever a time the church is going to have to get right before God, we're approaching that time. We may be a whole lot closer than even I think. I baptized both these boys recently in the last year or so, and I asked both of them to find out if they were listening. I asked both of them, once you get baptized, how much sin can you do or commit after you get baptized? And you know what they both told me? Zero. I didn't even know that principle was there when I was their age. But they know it. Because I'd taught them those principles. Their mother and father had taught them those principles. That when you get saved, you become a child of God. The old person is to die. And the new creature is to be raised in newness of life. And you're to walk holy and obedient to His Word. No sin in your life. And so they're walking. They're doing their best to walk that path. Wow. Well, praise God. I'm glad each one of you came today. I hope you will come back. I hope you'll bring somebody else with you. In these last days, we're trying to get everybody to walk in obedience to God's Word. And we're trying our best to get people to repent of sin and pray in the prayer of faith for you. And seeing as many people healed and delivered as possible. And thank God for our King. We do see a lot of miracles in this place. Now, so praise the Lord. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You and praise You for this beautiful day. We thank You that You're such an awesome God. I mean, an awesome God. And we praise You for all the people You save and the ones that You heal and the ones You deliver. And I thank You that You've given us, Your church, power over the enemy. And he has to be subject to us in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, bless each one of us. Challenge each one of us this week as we go out. May we be used of You mightily to bring people into the kingdom of God and get the sick healed and those that are possessed delivered. Thank You, Father, for using us for Your glory. And we give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name.